That's Joe Newman on trumpet with a nifty little number called Wednesday's Blues. And it seems so appropriate for today, given the news that we're getting all from all over the place. It's all about the blues today. So Newman is on trumpet, Frank West is on tenor sax, Tommy Flanagan on piano, Eddie Jones on bass, Oliver Jackson on drums. And this is from his 1960 album, Jive at Five. Well, this is Lead Stories. I'm Eutrice Lead. And we have officially entered the week of the long knives. Lots of there was a, you know, my father owned a movie theater, so I was always going to the movies. And I remember this one, I can't remember the name of the movie. It was a pirate movie. And one of the pirates' top hands on the ship says, "Captain, you cannot go into town. There's looting, shooting, and murdering." Well, that's what it sounds like today. And this past weekend, lots of looting, shooting, and murdering, and in the nation's capital, no less. The New York Times is reporting that more than 100 party members, including several officials, are considering leaving the GOP and starting a new third party. Donald Trump's abysmal and chaotic leadership has destroyed the party they contend, and they're trying to salvage as much of what they knew as the party as much as they can. And as you know, we begin this week with Liz Cheney being removed as the third position in leadership of the Republican caucus. She is a representative from Wyoming and comes from a long family, long in the history of politics. But mostly she has irritated Trump and his followers with her constant refrain. She does not believe, in fact, she insists that there was no stealing of the election. The election was not rigged. The results were the results. And she has insisted that the party has descended to such a level that it is embarrassing to the memory of great politicians who came out of the GOP and stood for something and carried themselves with great dignity, et cetera, et cetera. It's nothing at all like Trump. And she believes most, I should say, most seriously, this notion of the big lie, and that's referring to Trump's insistence that the election that saw him dumped as a candidate was stolen. And they're still talking that nonsense. But she, to her credit, she did not behave like a Trumpite. She said that although she's leaving, her entire energy will be devoted to exposing and defeating Trump. And if he should run again for president, he will find her just gazing at him and working against him and working to build coalitions against his candidacy and election. So let's start there. What what are we to make of this idea that so many people within the GOP are thinking of voting with their feet? They want to get out of the party. And now we have, things are coming full circle. It's just one big mess. It is almost embarrassing. It must be raising people's blood pressure all over the United States and outside of it, that this is what this country has come to, a big brawl, and especially waged by somebody with no sense of morals, no sense of commitment, no, he's just not a quality person. And yet this is the person that many people in the Republican Party have chosen to be their leader. I just don't get it. But, you know, stranger things have happened. And so it's probably our turn as a nation to have to deal with these internal conundrums where we have people who are the worst, the absolute worst, occupying the highest or most influential offices, and they are in charge. And with a great possibility that they can be reelected to office. Have you thought about this at all? Is it affecting you at all? Do you feel somehow you have to react, but you don't know quite what to react to? 888-874-4888. That's the first of my questions today. What is going on in this country? And why is it so difficult for so many people to just take a sober? Maybe that's the answer right there. Maybe they're not sober. But to take a sober and serious view, an analytical view of where the country is, especially since the advent of Donald J. Trump. I have never experienced or recall experiencing a time when just about everything seems to be out of whack. People are fighting each other. There's division. There is all kinds of stuff going on. And he seems perfectly calm. This is his milieu. This is the kind of atmosphere he likes. He loves it when he brings people together so that they could knock each other's heads off. He likes that. This is exactly what he lives for. And he's experiencing it. So he's a very happy guy. Ed from Queens, what do you make of the times we're in?
Good afternoon, you three. How are you?
Good afternoon. Fine, thank you.
This is a case, and I got to quote Malcolm, of chickens coming home to roost. For years, this country has involved itself in foreign governments, propping up tin pot dictators, from what was done to Mohammad Mossadegh back in 1954, to Papa Doc, to Idi Amin, involving themselves based on corporate interests, based on political interests, based on capitalist interests in other countries' affairs, and propping up these tin pot dictators. What goes around comes around. Now we got it. The universe has an arc, and now we're on the downside. And this is what we got. We got a tin pot dictator, a political novice, possibly a mentally deranged individual who has taken over half of this governmental process. And the character and the wherewithal and the testicular fortitude of the people involved in government is absent, so he is allowed to dominate. This is what you get if you don't do nothing.
Does it not scare you? Does it not, in some way, make you so uncomfortable about the future?
it makes me very uncomfortable about the future. I do what I can in my small sphere and, you know, hope for the best. But things have a way of coming back. And for years, the people, you know, I'm not going to indict everyone. I'm just saying the general populace of this country has allowed things to happen which shouldn't have happened. It's happened to other people. They are still happening to other people around the globe based on a small minority of capitalist interests that represent the government of this country. And the people of this country have allowed it to happen to the point to where apathy and personal feelings and phony loyalty has become a badge of courage. And you get what you pay for. When you're direct, when you're direct of leadership, when you're direct of character, when you're direct of moral turpitude, you get crap rising to the top. That's what they do.
It's a very, very uncomfortable time. And I don't see, what do you think about the purported or reported move by several people within the party to try and divest themselves from the party and form something else? Does that ring to you of having any authenticity, or is it a serious effort, or is this one of those things that they have to do to put it on the books?
I'm sure there are a few individuals within that group that have a sincere desire to do politics as they were, or to bring back politics as usual, as far as politics making strange bedfellows and the art of compromise, which is lost on this government for the past 40 years. I think there is a sincere effort for that, because a lot of people cling to what's normal. But I don't think it's a valid effort, and I don't think it's a wholehearted effort. I think people are scrambling. They're trying to cover their bases. They're trying to control the little bit of power that they do have. And on a larger aspect, I think that America, its time is up. I think that the world has seen our folly, and just, you know, not to be too esoteric, I think the world is tired of America, and I think we're in the beginning of the end for this experiment. This 500-year democratic experiment.
Wow. Thanks for your words of encouragement and positivity today.
Sorry, I can't be around, Sunshine.
No, but I thank you for your honest appraisal, really. And I happen to agree with most of your points. I think this is a very bad time, but it is also a time that requires us to remember that this isn't the first time, that we have come to this point several times before, but we are living the experience, and insofar as that we are living the experience, what are the forces that we are having to contend with? Who is Donald Trump? Why is it that he suddenly comes out of nowhere? And it's not just money, it's something else. There's a lot going on there. To essentially hijack a party, make everybody shut up and sit down, and take over. Just take the party.
He represents the consensus of what America has become. He is the voice of a large majority of Americans that believe in white supremacy, that believe in the status quo, that believe in that the way things were was a good way. And he's representative of that. And that's why, I mean, we're in the crux of decline. Yeah, we've come on moments in American history where there have been crises of character, there have been declines in leadership. But there's always been a core of people with moral character, with fiber, to pull it out and to pull it back. I don't see that anymore. I don't see that in leadership. I don't even see that in protest movements. People are happy to go out in the street and run up and down and holler and scream. But when it comes to the work, when it comes to presenting viable, practical options to rectify the problems, nobody's there. They talk about defund, destroy, this and that. There are viable mechanisms in the past. Just like we were talking yesterday about corruption and police brutality. You had the Knapp Commission. You had the Warren Commission. Did they work? Yes, to a certain extent. New York used to be a cesspool of corruption with police. You used to be able to hire the police to launder money or to transfer money through the streets. The French Connection, all of that. It rectified itself. And you've got to be willing to start somewhere. Like Adam Clayton Powell said, you got to use what's got. What's in your hand? You can't invent things out of the air or hope for drastic change. Change is incremental. It's always been incremental in this type of government, like it or not. And it takes a consistent effort. It takes a structured effort. And I don't think people understand that or are capable of comprehending that intellectually anymore.
Thanks for getting us started today. Very powerfully so. Gwen from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, I agree.
These developments. Hello, Gwen. How you doing?
I'm okay, except for that all this really is making me so nervous because I feel like there's a shadow above it that just is mirroring what happened in Hitler's Germany. Even the 10-year pause where Hitler wasn't in power and then all of a sudden got into power. And so even though Donald Trump is behind the scenes and many think he's just, you know, I know he's just hanging back there. And so, I mean, it's hard for me to believe that this guy could get in power again, but it's also so disappointing to see how many people in our country are just really Nazis, that they would have just gone along with the whole thing too. It's very disappointing. It's very upsetting. And Liz Cheney, it's weird. You know, I can't stand Dick Cheney. I've always thought he was a corrupt piece of crap. And so it's like strange that his daughter is the one that in some respects is holding the line. And at least in this one respect, I do think she's correct. I do think that the election was not stolen. It would have been nice to see some of these people that are all upset about stolen elections a long time ago when they really did steal the election from Al Gore. But, you know, all of a sudden we have this fake premise of a stolen election. And I think the only thing that's really propping all this up is that our society is so prejudiced. It's so racist and it's so prejudiced. And Donald Trump will deliver on a total fascistic government. And it's hard for me to believe that that's what really people do want that. And I'm just scared for myself as somebody who's been an activist for many, many years that I'm going to be one of the people that's going to be feeling, you know, that rod against my back. And it'll be people from my family that deliver that. My brother is an avid Trump supporter. All his children, all of my uncle's children, all 13 of them, they all voted for Trump. And it's just such a coldness there that, you know, people don't even care about their own families. They're ready to throw them under the bus in order to bring somebody like Trump in. It just seems to me that it's so similar to what happened in Nazi Germany, even the vaccines, even, you know, this experiment that we have on, this great experiment with giving all these people in our country an experimental vaccine. And now the isolation of people who haven't taken it. There was an article can I talk about this article this morning? It's very short, but just an example of isolation, or you just want me to stay with where? Okay. Well, there was an article about the Village Voice. There's a chess club in the Village Voice, and the chess club has decided that their words were, "We are now exclusively a chess club that will not allow anybody to be a member unless they have the vaccine." And what word really popped out at me was exclusivity. And the more this propaganda to take this vaccine gets out there, the more people are being shunned or they're being intimidated by other people, the press, the media. And it's really scary. And it seems like everything's kind of coming in there at one time. I just feel like we could go back to when my father, you know, like we go back to my father's time, and this is probably what it was like in Germany. And everybody's like, well, you know, just take the damn vaccine. You know, can't you just do that? Everybody else is doing it. It's all about what everybody else is doing. And I just feel a tremendous amount of pressure. And I also feel very upset that she lost that seat, because she might not be anybody that I'd vote for, but I think the tone that she brought to the party during this particular event was extremely important. And so it's just scary to see what's going to happen after that, you know, because this is just the first brick. There's going to be another brick added on top of it. I think there's something going on in Florida. The only thing I can say is the chance though next. Of Trump is
that's coming up next. What's going on in Florida?
I wouldn't want to live where you're living, Trees. I'm sorry, but you're about to get clobbered.
I know.
You don't have a very nice governor, okay?
I'm trying to duck.
I know. My father is actually originally from Florida, but my mother hates it, man. She's in Philadelphia. She got them out of there, and they never went back. But you have enough Philadelphians down there today that I think things are at least half and half down in Florida. But the governor down there does sound like a nut.
Oh, Lord. Like a nut.
Well, that's where I'm going to leave. I'm so curious about your second question, though. Can I just get a tidbit of what that second question is, or we just sit on our seat and wait?
Oh, sit on your seat and wait.
Oh, God. I'll wait. All right. Thanks, Patrice.
Okay.
You have a good day. Bye-bye.
Thank you, Gwen, for calling and contributing. Always a pleasure to hear from you. Lincoln from Mount Vernon, you're on the air.
Yeah, good.
What do you make of this time that we're in?
Good day, you trees.
Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes.
Yes. A big part of it, I agree with Ed that, you know, we spit in the sky and it falls in our face. I agree that it is true that the USA have been carrying out a lot of destabilization, killing innocent leaders, democratically elected leaders, etc. And what they have been, the wickedness that they have carried out throughout the world, is now being visited upon them. But it's not only that. It's a lot of intrigue. We're living in a very deceptive time. Gwen just said something. I don't even think she realized what she said about the vaccine. First of all, it's the Democrats mostly who's pushing this vaccine, Biden, etc. And that which you said, your word was this nonsense about the stolen election. The election was stolen. There's never been as big a test as this. And this is not a defense of Trump, because I did the research and the election was massively stolen. But the stealing of the election is a part of this great reset. It's not about Trump. It's bigger than Trump. And all of these people are just tools for the Bill Gates, etc. Just like COVID. COVID is a wickedness that was used not only to overthrow Trump, but to bring about this new reset. It's about this one world government. It's about the cashless society. It is much bigger than we think. It's not about Republicans or Democrats. It's beyond Republicans and Democrats. And when this cashless society comes, people are going to understand that. This vaccine certificate that they're trying to introduce is the precursor of the cashless society. And I know a lot of people can't deal with this. You know,
but you're all over the place. You're supposed to take one line and seat all the way through, but you're all over.
No,
so
but I'm saying to you, it's a big
things, what's the order of importance to you?
I'm saying my thing is, it's not like you were saying. It's not about Trump. It's bigger than Trump. It's a big mass of deception, and they're confusing us. So while you're busy focusing on Trump, they're busy taking us down another road that you're not seeing. It's not about Trump. And Trump did not cause this confusion.
Wait a minute. I have to say something here. Don't assume that Trump is all I see.
We're
talking about the times we're in.
It was a big lie about Russia interfering in the U.S. in election. And then that thing concerning Ukraine, It was another big lie, and because we also
but you, you're going all over, and in the end,
with the lies.
Keep up with
and
you.
Still going along with the lies because
this
Trump
is exactly why. Hold on, Lincoln. This is exactly why we have to encourage people to learn how to use a medium effectively. You have said a whole bunch of stuff, and nobody could tell you the sequence because you're all over the place. You have no methodology in taking us through whatever the points are that you want to stress. You just throw everything in, and we are supposed to make sense of what you in your head are making sense of, but it's not the same. So try and streamline your points and learn this medium, learn how to use all media effectively. You start from here, you go to there. You draw a conclusion, you keep us with you so that we're not confused and overwhelmed that there's just buckets of stuff being thrown on us and we have to figure out what the significance is of all that you're saying. Pick one point. See it all the way through.
It's like it's a big mass of confusion. It's deeper than you're saying, Utrecht. It's more intricate. You know, they don't know Trump. It's a distraction. All of this. And they know
yes,
that we think so linearly,
is,
and we think
is,
on
again,
a one-dimensional level, they're bombarding us with all these nonsense. It's deep. And then we end up.
Lincoln, you're talking at me. You're not talking to me or with me. You're talking at me. And you shouldn't assume, and this is where I'm trying to get to, don't assume to know what I believe or what I know. Don't assume that. I'm asking, you're on the air.
There's going to be a pandemic during this administration. He said that in 2017. Obama in 2015 said there's going to be a pandemic in 5 years. Then this was all planned. But because we are looking at things on a silly level, we're not realizing we don't realize how wicked these people are, just like 9/11. They planned 9/11.
Sorry, I'm going to have to stop because you're out of control now. I've been trying to tell you in so many ways, just streamline your argument, whatever it is, streamline it. But when you just, it's like turning on a faucet at full capacity and it doesn't stop, it just keeps going. And you don't know whether you are succeeding in telling us anything. It's only important to you that you hear yourself talking. You're not connecting. You're not taking us along a logical line. You're not proving your point in a methodical way. And it isn't to the ear. It isn't pleasant to hear somebody hollering at you based on what he or she believes. You can lay your points out, but this is not going to work. This is not effective. So I beg you, please reconsider your presentation and how you present your point of view. For right now, you must have raised at least 6 or 7 different points. And based on how you're presenting them, they're all equal in validity and therefore all equal in terms of our attention. No, you're losing a consciousness here, and it's very important because you're a very smart guy. You're well read, you know a lot of things, but you cannot tell us the history of the universe in 3 seconds. It's just not going to work. So can I prevail upon you? See, I'm putting it nicely. May I prevail upon you to really get a handle on this? Because you are so vital, I think, to our conversations. And you have so much to offer. But everything gets lost because it's all jumbled up and we don't know what's important. We don't know what your intention is. Which thing should we pay more attention to than the others, according to the way you put things out? It's not helping you, but also it's not helping us. We can't say that we would have come away from a conversation with you. Well, we don't have conversations with you. We're mostly listening. And you're bombarding us. It's not effective. So simplify, streamline, and give us a chance to interact with you. Is that fair?
Okay. Yeah, okay. I was very passionate about this, but let me say it again. I'm calm right now, so let me say it like this. Simply put, you choose, I'm saying it is not as simple and streamlined like you think. And the reason why I was bombarding you with all those things, it was purposeful, and this is where I'm going.
I get it why you are so passionate about things. These are things you feel very strongly.
Hear this. What I'm saying to you, the reason why I brought up all those things, I'm saying that's the kind of thinking we need to employ. We have to employ the beneath-the-surface thinking. If you just look at it as this Trump, and if you can't see all the machinations.
I do not look at it as Trump. This is what is mind-boggling to me. I do not look at anything in that one-dimensional way. But it happens there sometimes when one aspect of an issue or even a person dominates other aspects. And that is where you can start to have a meaningful conversation. There's no one way to have a conversation.
If Trump was so powerful, why were they to shut him down? Why is the FBI invading Giuliani, etc.? Trump don't have no power. That's just not true. Trump is a pawn.
But Trump, what I suggest you do. This is my suggestion. You can take it or leave it. My suggestion is that you get really into the business of organizing your focus and your thoughts so that we who are listening to you can follow your pattern. And therefore, as we listen to you, we can discern from what you're saying what your most important points are and what it is you are trying to convey to us about these issues. And so it makes it easy.
We're bombarded by lies. The whole of this COVID thing is a lie.
You just completely missed what I was trying to say.
No, I'm not ignoring you. I'm telling you, we are bombarded by nothing but lies. And even the things you're saying, you're thinking it's factual, but you've been bombarded with lies.
But that's what you think I'm thinking. That's
no, I know this because
you're
of
no
the,
authority
of
on what I'm thinking.
Done.
You have no way.
This is not an insult. I'm saying this based upon what I hear you say.
I know.
I remember when that thing came up with the frontline doctors, and people were calling that black doctor, voodoo doctor, etc. Come to find out that all the things the woman was saying about ivermectin and the other thing was true. And you yourself spoke disparagingly about that doctor. I heard you. And
yes,
that doctor spoke truthfully.
And there's a reason. Again, she failed in this. The business of communication is a science. And you have to know what you're doing when you're communicating. You're a doctor. Why should I be immersed? For me to appreciate your scientific knowledge, I have to immerse myself in all these concepts, religious concepts. It's nonsense. And it,
well, you should have just paid attention to the science. We're wasting too much time.
There are people who have things to say. So
okay. I'll call on Friday.
Well, you could call any day. It is so valuable. You have to understand what a conversation is. That would be a good start. What is a conversation? It means you say something and I'm listening, and maybe there's something you just said that really reverberates in me, and I give you feedback. There's a science of conversing. I'm not here, and nobody else is here, to be bombarded with constant assault. And in those assaults, you're assuming all kinds of things which are wrong, just plain wrong.
I intend for it to be sharing of information.
Yes, but I think you missed the point I'm making. And that is...
I hear you.
Do you hear me?
Yes, I hear you.
I listen like a microscope. You see, like what you're doing now. How do we have a conversation so that we hear each other and we listen to each other and we react to each other? These are very important things. I'll be very happy to talk to you about what I think would improve, because I think you have so much to offer, and it is a pity that you just lay waste to all of that by not being disciplined in your presentation. It's very important for you to be disciplined in your presentation and to understand nobody here is your enemy. I'm not your enemy. So I don't consider
anyone here my enemy. No, I don't. I don't.
Okay.
Because I have a passion.
This is what I'm saying. It is not immediately discernible because of the way you come across. You come across like you think everybody's an idiot. Or nobody has the information you need.
No. You, Chief, I don't think anyone is an idiot.
I know that. I know you, and I know the truth about you in this sense. And that's why I'm concerned that you have to work at this to develop a style that disarms all of that. Don't put unnecessary impediments in the way of you saying what you have to say and me listening to what you have to say. Huh?
Now, I said I will work on that.
Okay.
I will not let my pride get in the way. I will give what you say great consideration.
Thank you. But will you follow it?
Yeah, I will. I know that when I get passionate, I get in my way, and I will work on that.
Okay, so then we have.
I'm not ashamed to say I'm wrong.
I know, and that's why I'm taking all this time to talk to you.
Okay.
I know you're a very bright guy. You're very well read. You have great ways of tying things together in ways that most people do not. We are literal consumers of information. You are not. So you have a lot to offer. And it's a matter of fine-tuning your presentation and getting you used to the idea that it is not so much what you say. You constantly have to think of, what are the people hearing me say? What are they hearing me say? And I think you'd be fantastic at doing your own adjustments yourself. Once you figure out what some of the challenges are, you get them out of the way, nobody could touch you.
Not even Malcolm X.
Well, don't go so far. But
I'm joking with you.
I know, but thank you so much for extending to me that level of understanding. I really
thank you.
Really
thank do. You. Thank you for humoring me.
Okay, thanks. So we'll talk again soon. Peter from New York, you're on the air.
Hi, Teresa, this is Peter.
Hello.
You started by talking about Trump, and I thought of a totally different perspective on Trump, in that I saw recently the interviews with Vladimir Putin conducted by Oliver Stone, and he asked, well, he made the series of interviews between 2015 and 2017, and it's a phenomenal series to look at on Showtime if you've not yet seen it. And I'm most definitely late to the game. So as I say, the end of the series ended in 2017. So Trump was just coming into office, and Oliver Stone says, well, what do you think about Trump? Trump seems to have more of a more positive view of Russia, and actually seems to be favoring Russian-American friendship. And Putin says he was aware of that, but he has seen four presidents come and go, and he's seen very little, almost none, almost no change in American policy regarding Russia, or for that matter, regarding American foreign policy. And it's amazing that Putin actually comes across as an extreme, kind of a Boy Scout, very young and naive. He's still determined to have some hope in 2017 that he is going to have some chance of rapprochement with his American partners. He's constantly talking about his American partners. But every American president that he's dealt with has turned against him. And it's not that I am trying to defend Russia, but the deal is that America, both parties, are really the vast majority of the people in both parties are warmongers. Hillary Clinton was certainly top of the list. And Biden now, he made a lot of promises, but he's not delivering on the important promises. For instance, Iran. He's not improving relations with Iran. He's continuing with the damage that that Trump did. And then Trump was promised, and the Democrats and the media were constantly attacking Trump for being pro-Russian and making deals with Vladimir Putin behind the scenes. But in fact, Trump made all the right moves for the American establishment. The Americans are continuing to close in on Russia and on China and on their other countries, their chosen enemies, to destroy any countries that want to establish their own course their own policies. And so, anyway, the short of it is that Putin said he had hopes for what Trump said, that he favored Russian-American friendship, but that they were only the tiniest of hopes, because he just saw the American foreign policy as being very, very consistently war, you know, pro-war, constantly moving toward subsuming other governments, destroying other governments.
Trump is consistently pro-war. Trump has been consistently pro-war. And we
But the media, at the same time, has been accusing him of being trying to make deals with dictators, you know, like Korea and Russia.
But the United every nation does it. Every nation does stuff that is completely contrary to what they say, or what they say they believe.
Yeah, everyone. That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they all lie.
So,
to some extent or another,
put so much faith in what a leader says, especially on the international level, is a bit naive. They say whatever it is they got to say, because they know they're being recorded, it's being reported, the people back home are watching them, blah, 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 blah. Mm-hmm. In the end, many of them are just lying, right straight to you. They're lying. They're distorting the facts.
But Putin, with that very different perspective of America, namely that he just wants to get along with them, basically. He doesn't want them to continue to try to destroy Russia. He did say and refer to Trump's racism, and he says he's aware that he's using that to his advantage. Well, of course, Trump was a racist and still is a racist, but he most definitely comes across as a dictator. I mean, a wannabe dictator. Then he's going to use that racism to his advantage.
He's not that bright. Let's be very clear. Donald Trump is not that bright. And I said, even before he was inaugurated, there is something deeply wrong with this president. I'm talking about psychologically. Not long after I said that, an organization of psychiatrists and psychologists, including his own niece.
I remember.
Trump said, a duty to warn. We're trying to warn you that this is not a stable person. This is not a person who should occupy the highest office. The difference, as we see it over the years, between how the United States approaches foreign relations, is that most presidents are painfully ignorant of how the world works. What they do know is, I got an army, I got a navy, I got an air force, I got all kinds of bombs. I could do whatever I want to do. And that's how they deal with this question of foreign relations. Putin comes out of heavy schooling, and this is the case with most of the leaders.
Yes, that's true.
They go to school, they're taught, they're very well versed. Even if you disagree with their points of view, they have studied.
They
have been taught.
Yeah.
United States talks like it's big and bad, with four time zones. Russia has 11. 11 time zones wide.
Oh, yes. It's huge. The Federation.
It's ridiculously huge. So you're talking, there's no way, easy way to equalize them, because the experiences are very different. Their approaches are very different. Their education is different. Do you think that when Putin sits across a table from Donald Trump, he's thinking he's sitting with an equal? Do you really think that?
It takes a lot of finesse to deal with diplomacy, with these presidents, most particularly with Trump. Yes, I agree.
So you're talking about two entirely different orientations, two entirely different methods of how people come along in that society, come along on the trajectory of power.
But Obama came across as a real manipulator. I mean, toward the end, when Hillary had managed to lose the election to Trump, which was a bizarre accomplishment on her part, that she could have done such a horrendous job at campaigning. But anyway...
we did a whole series here. Hillary and Bill are of the same ilk.
Yes, they are.
They have committed unspeakable crimes. They are war criminals, technically.
Oh, absolutely. Totally.
We documented it on this program.
If you recall, after Hillary managed to lose the election, Obama placed sanctions on Russia, like it was Russia's fault for her losing the election. And that was just totally and completely bogus, born out of her determination and Robbie Mook's determination to blame the Democratic Party's losses on some external force.
It's so silly and inconsequential. We just talked about the might of Russia, the bigness of Russia, age of Russia, actually.
That's right.
They've been at this business of government, however people want to construe it, but they've been at it much longer than any country in the Western world. Mm-hmm. They've been at it. So they have a body of knowledge and experience, and they don't, they're not into flash. They're not into Hollywood. They're not into, they're into substance. Why? Because that's what the people want. That's what the people assemble before their radios and television sets. They are critical analysts of what the government is doing.
And it was Putin's continued emphasis was to try to establish a stable relationship with the U.S. and a predictable policy that
unpredictable. Now,
depend on
the United States.
It's impossible with the U.S. of A.
The United States has never been stable.
That's for sure.
The historical record verifies that. Predictable? No.
Right.
The United
Although
States is
Putin
a,
is saying
an
he's saying that
this.
all these presidents who were supposedly of different parties and different viewpoints, they've all come and gone. He's seen four of them, and the policy still remains the same. Amazingly the same. It's the bureaucracy, the deep state that carries on the policies of war and undermining the sovereignty of other countries.
And when it comes to war, you have to go to Russia, you have to go to China, you've got to go to all these other countries to understand how they understand war. Nobody wants war because it is so devastating, and it remains devastating for many generations. Nobody wants war, but that's part of the line that we are sold, that these are all warmongering countries and so forth. We are infantile in our approach to world relations. And other countries are bewildered at the lack of sophistication and the lack of understanding and the lack of education that United States leaders have about the world. Well, that, brings us to the end. I'm sorry. We have to cut off as we're out of time.
Short program.
Peter, thank you so much for calling today. Thank you. Thank you all for calling. And let's return tomorrow, see what gives. I have a whole bunch of things we didn't talk about today. Maybe we could get to some of them tomorrow. Bye-bye.